day, and we only did one pod, and they ushered us out. So don't know exactly what was going on, but you know, there's an element that just because we have an open door, we need prayer that it would stay open even for the entire time. So hopefully this will, I'm not exactly sure what happened on Thursday, but hopefully everything works well today and let us in and everything goes according to plan. So definitely appreciate your prayers. And then just add a request to that is pray for April the 12th. April 12th is a Saturday from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. We're having an appreciation dinner for those who work in the jail. And so it'll be an opportunity for us to, we have a witness to them as well. They often hear the messages that we speak. And so just continue to pray for our outreach, even to the jailers, and that would really accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Yes, sir, Johnny. Oh, okay. Wow. Interesting. So, okay. So, yeah, praise the Lord that kidnapping was thwarted. So, that is a great 9-year-old little girl. Five-year-old. Oh, that's sad.
I'm praying I get to see him today.
Okay, yes. You see the, since they caught him here, he stays here, huh? Okay. That puts ministry in perspective right there. There we go. Pray for the gospel going forth. So, all right. Excellent. All right. Yes, sir, Brother James. Oh, wow. Oh, so he's a young man. Okay, so pray for. Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, that is neat. Oh, yeah, we're glad to see you guys back and glad you're able to rejoice in that. So, little baby Cyrus born. So, good. Praying for Raymond coming out of a coma and also for Rick with recovering from heart surgery. And then praising the Lord for Cyrus. And then, any update on Phil? Like, in terms of. Okay. Okay. All right. So, unnamed relative Phil, and pray for the Lord preserve him, and he would receive the gospel. So God would use this whole circumstance. So yes. All right, Rose and Myrtle's daughter, Christy, with cancer. All right, so, yes, Charlie?
I thank the Lord that I survived the fall this week.
Mm.
I won't be crying.
Oh. Amen.
Keep praying for my children, especially God.
Okay. All right, yeah, let's pray for Donna, Charlotte's daughter, and just praising the Lord. Had a little spill this week, but the Lord preserved, and so we're still... Okay, it's... going up rather than going down. Huh? All right, very good. I see another hand. Yes, Don. Okay. Probably one of these young teenagers out here playing football or something. All right, very good. Yes. Yes. Okay, very good. Well, let's be in prayer for Dawson's uncle, Greg, with the possibility of cancer, and then just praising the Lord for a good appointment. So we'll pray for a follow-up appointment for Samantha this coming week. Lord, we'll continue to bless. So be good. One, no. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. 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 So let's pray for Nelson. Neck surgery. You said this week?
This week.
This week.
They don't know exactly what day yet. It'll finish Monday, but something came up. This week is going to plan.
Okay. All right. Wow. Very good. Yes.
To add to that is they have already booked a vacation to Korea. So he needs a quick
Okay, wow. Okay. Okay, so we'll pray for them. Or we'll allow them to be able to make that trip. So, very good.
Yes, sir. I had said Wednesday night that Janice Robb was going to have surgery Thursday, but I misunderstood that. I talked to him this morning, and I guess that appointment they did refer to a surgery.
Okay. All right, so we'll pray for the Robs and pray for this surgery for Janice. Horrible.
For her salvation.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And in that theme, we have Jimmy is scheduled to have lower back surgery in June, but he's in a lot of pain on a daily basis, and so be in prayer for his salvation. Got a chance to go through the gospel with him. It was kind of neat. Doug and Shelley had dropped off the wordless book, and they were saying, "Now, what does this thing mean again, Pastor? Can you tell us?" Well, you know, I might be able to go through that. So just went through that little booklet and everything, and then a little bit later in the conversation, they were talking about something else. And I said, "You know what? I think I know what the problem is." I turned to the page and hold up the black. You know, like, oh, there's the problem that someone's dealing with. You know, just anyway, just neat opportunity to kind of reinforce in the mind how applicable it is. So be in prayer for Jimmy and his salvation. Yes, sir, Tom. Okay. So we'll be in prayer for you guys, and a good reminder to be in prayer for the Davises as they get set up there and with that big tent, get the fair underway and the gospel going forth. So it's good. Yes, Becky?
My doctor recommended me do a C-section.
Okay. All right. So we'll be in. Is that your first C-section? Okay. All right. So we'll be in prayer for Becky as a prayer for the baby and safe delivery. So, yes, sir. Jeff. All right, good. We'll pray for Chuck and doctor's appointments go well. So. Okay. And, yes?
I'd just like to remind you, pray for Joey. And if it is in God's will to provide a kid.
Yeah. Okay. Let's pray for Jerry. Thank you for that reminder and just an update there that seeing steady progress in the wrong direction. And so pray for a kidney transplant. So ask for the Lord. Intercede. So. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Okay. All right. Oh, in your hand. Okay. All right. Oh, you're just taking them. Okay. All right, very good. Important clarification. So. All right, anyone else? Dad, to the. Oh, yes.
But anyway, and then Bible study we're doing for our neighbors is progressing very well. The Lord's by her own admission, the Lord's drawing her.
Amen.
Thank you for the prayers. I ask you to keep praying.
Amen. Important. This will be the fourth lesson this Saturday if everything goes according to plan. So that's the lesson that calls for a decision. So be in prayer for them this Saturday morning. That we'll see, why does God want us all to be praying for this one person? So that when He answers, we all rejoice together. It really is. And it's interesting to see that theme popping up in multiple places in the Scripture, that God wants glory through answer prayer. So sometimes we hold back because we don't want to share a prayer request or a blessing, but sometimes we're robbing God of His glory in answering. So think about that in terms of, I know there's sometimes there are personal things and aspects. I'm not trying to delineate that, but I want to encourage someone to, you know, if God's doing a work, share it and ask prayer so that others can join you in praise to God. So, yes. Okay. All right. Absolutely. Well, Melanie asking prayer for her heart. So, okay. All right. So may the Lord bring some good results from that, or the needed results. Okay, we'll pray for Molly. Anyone else? I go ahead, Kelsey. Oh, well, very good. We'll pray for Kelsey's mom. I know that's a burden on her heart, and we'll pray for her salvation. So very good. Yes, go ahead. Okay. Good. We'll just be in prayer for Ryan. I know if you know anything about them, you know they've been very busy last month or two here and really in preparation. So coming down to some key deadlines here, even this week. And so we'll pray, uphold you guys at this time. So, good. All right. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, wow. All right, so pray for Anna's grandmother and the whole family as they have those very, very difficult end-of-life choices to make. So I pray for you guys. So. Okay, good. Anyone else before we go to prayer? Yes. Oh, good. Okay. Okay. All right, let's pray for little grandbaby Tatum and pray for safe delivery. And then Dakota made it safely, so praise the Lord for that. So that's good. Very good. The rest of the family will join him later, so it'll be good. Good. All righty. These are good. We've got quite a list to pray for one another, but it's part of what the Lord's been burdening our hearts for, right, is intercession and prayer for one another, and this is good. It sure is nice to be able to pray specific things, isn't it, and look for God to do a work. So, all right, we're going to take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, and I'll have you read. Let me make check if it's a the first 16 verses of Romans 16. That'll make it simple. Okay. Anybody need more time? Anyone like to read that portion of scripture out loud for us here? Yes, I don't intend to do that myself here. Or at least that's not the goal of this morning. But I really am excited about going over this chapter and the truth that is here. But first of all, I have to acknowledge right here, we are coming to the end of Romans. It took us a while. It only took us 16 weeks, but we got here. Oh, that was my original intent, was I was going through my family Bible time, and I thought, well, I'd like to do something what I'm doing with my family, just take 1 week and just kind of explain the overall, just the high points of it, and just keep on moving. And boy, we jumped into it, and I slowed down. So, but it's been a very enjoyable, rewarding, refreshing study in the book of Romans. I do feel like Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians are rather large books that I feel like I know something about them, but maybe not, certainly not as thoroughly as I want to. And so I think that as foundational as Romans is in terms of doctrine, I'm very thankful to have been able to have this study and to continue to learn from it. Don't feel like I'm done with it. Don't feel like we've accomplished everything. But I do want to let you know what's coming next. And so the plan is in the month of June that we are going to split the adult Sunday school class into two groups. And you get to choose where you want to go. And we'll have adults meeting here. And Brother Kenny is going to teach one class. And he's putting together something on finances and something like that. So that'll be enjoyable. And then I'm going to be doing something practical on the aspect of child rearing. And that will be over in the old building. And so I will be looking for those that I want to be in my class. We'll see how that works out. I think it'll be good. So two practical lessons coming in Sunday school. So we'll be doing something a little different. And so the plan is in June, and keep you abreast of things that you need to be aware of as we get closer to that. So, all right. Well, we come to Romans 16, and there is a word there that kind of occurs more frequently than any others. Did anyone pick up on it?
Salute.
All right. Very good. Yeah, it almost starts that greet or salute. And in fact, the word greet and the word salute is actually the same word all the way through in the Greek. So very clear. There's an emphasis here on greeting one another, saluting one another, and we get to look at that. There's 35 names, several different households, several women mentioned here, a couple. Maybe two couples that are a part of this. And so it's it may be an aspect that after you've read so much in Romans, and there is an element that you could say, if you could have one more chapter in Romans, and this is the 16th chapter, we might have requested maybe a little bit more doctrinal exposition on one of the previous topics. Go a little bit more, expound a little bit more on these truths that we struggle with. We want to put them together, but God's given us everything we need, and yet He's given us 16 verses of people's names and the call to greet them. So this is important. This is significant, and they really don't have anything quite like it in any of the other Pauline epistles. You have other greetings and other things, but it's a lot shorter. This one is much more extensive. So, every section here that we read through, whether it be chapter 13 or chapter 12, you know, from that point forward, it all relates to Christian living. And so there's something that God wants us to learn in regards of these things. And I think we have to tie it in to the theme of the book and what God is trying to teach us through the book of Romans. So we have to ask the question, what are Christian salutations? You know, what is Paul doing? And what does, and I say Paul's doing it, my assumption from the very beginning, I should just state it, is if Paul's doing it, then God wants us to do it. All right, that's the assumption that I have here from the very beginning. And that's just an aspect of I think that's what New Testament epistles are all about. Well, when you look at the word greeting or salutation, I'd like for you to just keep your finger here in Romans and look over at Acts chapter 20. We're going to find this word in Acts 20, but it's not going to be salute, and it's not going to be greet. But it's very informative. Acts 20, verse 1, it says, "After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." So did you find the word? Embrace them. Yep, there really isn't another word that quite fits, and yet that one sounds so... It's really interesting, but that's the exact same word as we find here, greeting or salute. And how is it that it can be translated embrace? Well, the root of the verb has the idea of drawing near to someone to oneself, taking someone and drawing them near. And so this is like, what is a salutation? It's a verbal embrace. And oftentimes it would be accompanied with a physical gesture. That is seen in verse 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. So in terms of that aspect, this is be the Eastern custom of side to side. And oftentimes, I'm thankful that that's not our culture. We have a physical gesture that goes with our salutations. And then we just reach out the hand and shake one another. So I think that's certainly appropriate to contextualize these things within our own society. The word salute is actually a Latin word or a Roman term. So Latin was what was used by the Romans. And it has the idea of paying respect to other people. So they're like, well, we've got a word like that. And that's what is used here. It says, okay, how do you show honor and esteem? So if somebody comes by and you salute them, you do that because you are showing respect and honor to them. So you get to see the element of the word that's behind this, that there is an element of making a salutation is a sign of honor and respect to the person. That's not myself in terms of saying, I value you. You are important. And there's an element here that when we went through the one another passages, we looked at this is not the only place where it says, verse 16, salute one another, greet one another. That this is something that Christians ought to do to one another. We ought to embrace one another verbally every time that we see each other. We ought to show respect to other believers. And we're going to look at why and what causes. And as we, in these passages, this is going to illuminate to us what we should value, what we should prize in terms of our brothers in Christ. And anyway, we'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm excited about the reasons. Let's get... Where am I at my notes? Okay. Okay, so there. Going through this study, I came across someone who put together four reasons in this passage why this is given. I think they're very good, so I'm going to share them with you. It says, these expressions here that we find in Romans 1 through 16 inform believers how they ought to take note of one another. There's an element of these are the things that ought to go through our minds when we see fellow believers. And this is because this is what was on the mind of the Apostle Paul. Interestingly enough, the Apostle Paul, as we know, he was never been to Rome. And so there's an element of how does he know these people? Now we know an example in terms like Priscilla and Aquila. He knew them through multiple contacts outside of Rome, and they had gone to Rome before him. And it seems like some of these other people, he had near, dear relations in terms of he had won some of the people there to Christ. Some of these people had been like a mother to him. They were like family in regards to his connections. And so he's building the goodwill that he has between those people. I do think of when we had our missionary just mention Joyce's name from just on the public. That just did something in terms of our heart. They were like, wow, this person knows someone that we love, and they know them personally. And that's true if anyone that someone might know outside of our congregation type thing. So there's an element that you can imagine the impact that this would have been, this being read, you know, and just people's names being mentioned and said, make sure that you greet them. And so he's basically asking them to send, pass on his greetings, his salutation to them. You know what, this ought to, we'll come to it in a moment. These expressions also reveal the relationships that exist within the church. So the word church is found in verse 1 of chapter 16, and that's the first occurrence of the word church in the whole book of Romans. Wow, pretty amazing. He was dealing with a lot of doctrinal issues. And so if you're going to look to the church, you're going to look to say, what's the doctrine of the church? You're going to look to something like Ephesians and other places that you're going to see really a prominent place. But in Romans, you know, this is the first occurrence, and it occurs two more times, I believe, in these other places, I think. And maybe more than that. I may be miscounting or misremembering. So here's an aspect. These are relationships that happen within the church. What we see here are words like sister or brother. We see relationships of family relationships. He says, my kinsmen, the brethren, his mother and mine. There was someone that was like a mother to him. Phoebe is referred to as a sister in verse 1. I think so. We've got some of the family relationships, and then they're also a relationship designated by the work that they are joined in. So you'll see in verse 1, Phoebe is a servant of the church. And verse 2, she says she's been a succorer or a helper of many. Verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. Verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Down in verse 9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. Verse 12, who labor in the Lord, who labored much in the Lord, in verses 12 there. So you see some elements of you're joined in a fellow work that God has given. And then you see certain examples of emotion, of commitment, by the speaker to these people. Like Epaneus in verse 5, he says, salute my well-beloved. Amplius in verse 8, my beloved. Stachius, my beloved in verse 9. Verse 12, salute the beloved Persis. All right, so some of them have this element of a word that's attached to them of endearment, and it demonstrates how we are to value one another. And we're going to see that most of these, and the strongest one all the way through this, is people's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, the connection that one has to them. He says, my helpers, in verse 3, in Christ Jesus. In verse 5, the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. In verse 7, who were in Christ before me, my beloved in the Lord, verse 8. In Christ, verse 9. Approved in the Lord, verse 10. The household of Narcissus, in verse 11, which are in the Lord. Verse 12, they labor in the Lord. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. All the churches of Christ salute you in verse 16. So you get to see that one of the ways that we ought to look and view one another is, hey, this person is related to Jesus Christ. And that's what makes them a fellow family member. And we can talk to one another as brothers and sisters. And as some, mothers. It's interesting that when you go back, the pattern that we find here is he doesn't call anyone a father in terms of that. Though there is an analogy, I think, in terms of it. But Jesus, I find it fascinating when he was talking to people, he says, who are my mother? And who is my brother? And my sisters? He goes around, and he takes those three family and he leaves out father. And then we have in Matthew where he says, call no man your father, because you have one who is your father. So there's an element of, it seems like that specific family designation is so sacred to the Lord that we reserve father for him. And yet, mother is used here in regards to the Apostle Paul. And I don't think he's referring to this being that this is my mother physically. He says it's his mother and my mother, meaning this was a person that he knew so well that was a friend whose mother became like his mother to him in terms of that relationship. I'm sure you've probably know of people like that who have, ladies who have loved upon you in some way that felt that endearing to you as well. These are expressions that are examples of terms by which we can embrace one another. These are actually things that we could say, my brother in the Lord. And I talked about how valuable that is to, if we'll greet one another, and it just kind of it motivates me to go beyond and to think. It may be a little weird sometimes in some sense that we, but if you're consciously thinking, how can I greet someone and bring Christ into the greeting? You know what that does? That gets your mind thinking about Christ, and it gets the other person's mind thinking about Christ, and your whole relationship is around Jesus Christ, and he's at the center. He's the bond, and you're acknowledging that from the very beginning. And I think that's a good thing. And you see how the Apostle Paul did that. These were not just spiritual things just to throw in words. And sometimes I think, you know, sometimes there can be an element of cultural aspect where I think it's more, is it true that's more in the South? That's kind of, I don't know, does anybody know that? I mean, it seems like in the South, everybody's brother and everyone's sister, you know, and you talk that way. And that's not uncommon here in our own church necessarily, but it's not super duper common, right? It's not, but I think it could be more common. I think if we were intentional about it and we're not just throwing that word around, that we really are trying to be careful. And there's an element that says, I'm acknowledging that I have fellowship in Jesus Christ. And that's part of what hurts about church discipline. Because when somebody goes through church discipline, you don't refer to them as brother and sister anymore. They are excluded from the family. They are not a part of it anymore because of the sin that they have committed and the unrepentant heart. And so there's an element when the instruction is given there, you treat them as an outsider, someone that needs the gospel, someone that you're burdened for salvation. But if there is a strong knit fellowship, a strong knit love that we have in terms of this family, it really does make church discipline that much more effective. Because it really does, we say, man, I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose my family in terms of what that God is doing in our lives. And interestingly enough, when you look at this, look at verse 17. We didn't read this, but it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So he's going to talk about, he's going to go through 16 verses of strong Christian fellowship, a strong bond. And then in verse 17, it becomes very, it's like anything that's disturbing that fellowship, you've got to mark them and isolate them and say, nope, you cannot be a part of this because you're destroying this Christian fellowship that we have. Whether it be by teaching false doctrine that would undermine the truth, the union we have in Christ, or being divisive. As we're gonna, so we'll look in terms of those. We'll probably spend several weeks looking at those verses and the application that they ought to be. So it's not, I don't think a church ought to be one or the other. We're separatistic. We're down the line. We're toting. Yeah, we are. At the same time, you can have a great love and a great fellowship. And it really is that love and that fellowship in Jesus Christ and what we have for one another that makes us concerned that nothing would come in and undermine that and take away from what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here. But also, I think the fourth thing, so let me review those because I haven't really made it real crystal clear. First thing is, these are expressions that form believers on how we are to, what should come into our minds when we think of other believers. So it should inform our thinking. It does reveal relationships that exist within the church. These are the expressions that are examples that you and I can use to embrace others. And these are expressions, or are these expressions are illustrations of testimonials of what God will say about them in the future. Yeah. Because who's giving these commendations? Okay, Paul's the right answer. Who else? The Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. By Paul, so that you know that these are infallible designations and these are the thoughts that God has towards these people. Did you know that it more than likely, we ought to think this way, there is a large amount of variations on the phrase, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." These are just other variations of that commendation. How would you like to get to heaven and God says, "My helper, who labored much in the Lord, beloved"? You just need that one word. And you can go into eternity. This is the badge that I've been given from the Lord. And you know what's really amazing? You get to choose what the term is. You're choosing right now how God is going to receive you in your life. Isn't that incredible? Your whole life is lived in preparation for that day when He's going to give a word of approval of you and your life. Doesn't that make you want to serve the Lord more? Doesn't that make you want to say, what do I want people to think of me when they just get one expression of who I am in the Lord and they make a word of statement? You can say, what would I want? You're like an apostle like this who hears me, or a fellow worker, or your pastor who's going to give an account of me in the judgment day. What do I want in a small phrase that he would say about my life? You get to choose those things by your actions and your activities. It's really an amazing aspect. Our character is built by decisions and choices that we make that begin to build a pattern of our lives. Can God say, you labored much in the Lord? I mean, did you lay down your neck for the sake of the gospel? Have you, just an element of saying, you can make sacrifices. You know, anyway, we'll talk more about exactly all these things as we go through it, because I'm out of time. So anyway, I just want to get to that point and encourage us and stir us up and say, whoa, this might be something we're studying, right? I think so. I'm excited. So we'll look at it again next week, Lord willing. You're dismissed.